In the name of the one God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. How can this be? I'm asking myself this question as the cases of coronavirus grow, as the shortages of medical supplies run short, as the most unlikely of persons get the virus, as I see the empty shelves in the supermarket, as our places of worship are closed to in-person worship. How can this be? I am pinching myself to see if this is real or I made the whole thing up. But it is real. People are dying and we are self-isolating so as not to catch the virus or pass it on to others. This is a time in our lives that we will remember. This is the type of story that gets retold to the generations to come. I remember the stories of my parents and grandparents who dealt with the memories of the Great Depression or the World Wars. Those were times of great anxiety, fear, food rationing, and inadequate health conditions, some of which we are experiencing today. How can this be? We today are sharing this question with the gospel reading. A man was born blind from birth. When the man regains his sight, the neighbors cry, "How can this be?" The Pharisee says, "How can this be?" His parents cry, "How can this be?" It was felt that since the man was born this way, his parents must have sinned to cause his disability. His disciples questioned Jesus as to whose fault it was. Jesus tells them, "Neither one. God has plans for this man, and we will see the power of God through him." Without the man asking to be healed, Jesus spits on the ground and mixes up the mud and puts it on the man's eyes. Saliva was thought to have medicinal purposes. Ask any mother who used their own saliva to clean a child's hand, a foot, or a cheek, or a pacifier. I'm guilty of that one. But beyond that, God created humanity from dust, and it is this gesture that Jesus uses to create sight for the man. Jesus then tells the man to go wash in the pool of Siloam. This brings back to mind the story of Naaman, who was told to go wash in the river in order to be cleansed from leprosy. The man, like Naaman, came out of the pool seeing. The neighbors looked at him with total disbelief. Some even questioned if it was the same man. But the man reassures them that he is the very one, and he tells them of his miraculous healing. Still confused, the neighbors bring the man to the Pharisees to get a clearer understanding of his healing. This only made matters worse for the man. Like the neighbors, they are not even slightly overjoyed that the man can see for the first time. All they could think was that whoever did this healing could not be from God or no God, because the healing was carried out on the Sabbath. Determined to get to the bottom of this, they go to find the man's parents. Surely they would know. They are just as surprised as everyone else. But they have a problem. They are afraid of the religious leaders who may be thinking they are followers of Jesus. They leave their son to answer for himself. The man will repeat what happened to him twice, and both times those around him refuse to believe how he was healed and that he was actually healed. Notice, the actual healing is described in a few short verses. However, the Gospel of John will use almost the entire chapter of chapter 9 to describe the people's reaction to the healing. Can't you hear them? Did you hear what happened to Joe? Well, let me tell you. What? How can this be? This is so reflective of what we're dealing with. Hours and hours are being spent on telling of businesses closing, the food shortages, medical shortages, and very little on people being affected by the coronavirus. We are told how many have it, not how many have actually been healed and returned to their way of life. That, of course, is not newsworthy at all. And so, like the neighbors and the Pharisees who are looking to blame anyone, mainly the parents, we too are looking for someone to blame for the virus. But who are we to blame? God? Those in authority? Ourselves? No, none of the above. The coronavirus has snuck up on us. We're not prepared. The blind man, the neighbors, the parents, the Pharisees are not prepared for this miraculous healing either. It snuck up on them and it threw them for a loop. But Psalm 23 is there to remind us of God's goodness. He reminds us that as he first saw the difficulty in the blind man, he also sees the difficulties we face today, and he provides protection for us all, regardless of the outcome. Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I shall fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. The truth is, we are the blind man. We are blind to God's truth. We see the beauty of God all around us each day, yet it is easy to deny the hand of God in it. The blind man confronts the Pharisees and tries to get them to see the truth. He tells them, "Here's an astonishing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but he does listen to one who worships him and obeys his will." The blind man realized that Jesus had to have come from God in order to do what he did for him. What did Jesus tell us in the beginning? Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him. So that God's works might be revealed in him. God's work was revealed that day, and everyone looked around for every which way to say that the healing was not from God. For that is the only way our human minds can deal with or justify the miracle. Miracles happen around us. There are so many things we just cannot explain. People being found alive after days and weeks of being buried in rubble. Ill people with bleak outcomes suddenly recover. Oh, people say the doctor, the surgeon, the medicine. But was it? Or was it the hand of God? The blind man has received grace upon grace. For the first time in his life, he sees what is before him. And what is before him is the truth that Jesus healed him. He is beyond grateful for God's goodness to him. We too in our lifetime have received God's goodness. Our family and friends have received God's goodness in the form of recovery from illness, being blessed with children, grandchildren, a new home, a car, a job. But have we not looked on with envy? How can this be? Did we blind ourselves to God's goodness, his grace, his mercy, his love? We receive them every day. The blind man heard the voice of Jesus long before he saw him. Although he did not ask Jesus to heal him, I am sure he waited expectantly each day for this miracle. Is today the day? And then one day, just like that, it was. It was the day that he gave glory to God. It was the day that he listened for God's voice. It was on that day that everything changed for him. It was the day that he became a disciple. I cannot think of a more appropriate reading for what we're dealing with at this time in the middle of Lent. Lent is a time of self-examination and reflection, a time to listen to God. This story is one of joy, of beauty in the midst of fragile humanness. It begs us to think anew of God's hand at work, of his goodness towards us, of the ways in which God moves in our lives, of the hope he offers. We do not take the time to pause, to reflect, or to listen. Silence frightens us. Well, my friends, we have a whole lot of time on our hands now to pause. How will we use this time? Let us use this time to ask hard questions, to reflect on what it is we truly believe. Do we believe the miracle that has taken place? Can we loudly proclaim, "Yes, Lord, I believe"? At the end of the passage, the blind man now has a relationship with Jesus. He is now one of his sheep, for he has heard the voice of Jesus, and he believes. "Lord, I believe," he cries. How can this be? Yes, it can be. Amen.